You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So on September 19th, 1893, the Electoral Act was passed and it granted all women in Aotearoa above the age of 21 the right to vote. 125 years ago, New Zealand became the first self-governing country to give women that right. The movement for women's rights started around the 1860s and gained momentum with the suffragettes like Mere Te Tai Maunga Kahia, Kate Shepherd and Mary J. Carpenter, who submitted a massive petition to the parliament asking for the recognition of the right to vote for all women. It gathered 25,000 signatures, which was pretty significant at the time, and it was the latest of 13 petitions presented to the House of Representatives for a total of nearly 32,000 signatures. Let's not forget, though, that prior to the colonisation of Aotearoa, Māori women held leadership positions within their communities, and it is European settlements and the progressive cultural dominance that led to them being sidelined. Anyway, this historic landmark legislation is celebrated today and for the rest of the year across the country. Major female figures from the past and contemporary time and their achievements are being highlighted and celebrated. But some advocates also want to seize the opportunity to bring light to the modern issues women in New Zealand face. That's why I spoke to Dr. Jackie Blue, the Equal Employment Opportunities and Women's Rights Commissioner at the Human Rights Commission, and I started by asking her how significant the universal suffrage legislation was at the time and what it represents for women today.
Oh, it was a huge undertaking. They got an all-male parliament to sign off on giving women the vote. This was in a day when they had some telephone connections and telegrams, that was about it, but they mobilised tens of thousands of women to sign a petition, get it to parliament, and it wasn't. And they had a few goes at it. It wasn't the first time, so they could have easily got disenchanted and, you know, just thought it was all too hard, but they didn't. Mm. They persisted and they got through. It was astonishing. Astonishing.
And so what do you think the legacy is for today?
Well, we need to look back on our suffragettes and think, right, well, we've got our own battles to fight. Some weren't obvious in the suffragettes' days. They're certainly apparent now if they weren't then. And we need to use the suffragettes to basically catapult our own path towards gender equality.
So I'd like to talk about it a little bit more maybe later in this interview, but as part of the suffrage anniversary coverage, women who have paved the way have been put in the spotlight, specifically in the media. And I was wondering if there were any women whose achievement you'd like to highlight today.
Well, I think all the women in the past and currently and into the future that are bringing up families and doing a lot of unpaid voluntary work. They are the backbone of our society and they are the glue that keeps our society together. And sure, they haven't done amazing things or got accolades or acknowledgement in that way, but really, quite frankly, women doing, working, bringing their families up, being unpaid and not in the limelight, but they are just crucial and the glue to our society.
So Eugenie Sage, who's the acting Minister for Women at the moment, believes increasing public recognition of women's achievement could inspire wahine in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and also help break down stereotypes. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I do. The only way you're going to challenge stereotypes is actually profiling women who have broken the barriers, broken the ceilings, broken what many women may feel is insurmountable, to say, no, we can do it. And our Prime Minister is an example of that. Having a child in office and at her age is a great inspiration for young women, that they can have a family, they can have a career, and anything is possible.
Speaking of, actually, that brings me to what was my next question, which is, so Eugenie Sage also said that New Zealand is, and I'm quoting here, a good place to be a woman. I think she was referring specifically to women like Jacinda Ardern and Julian Genta, who are in high positions and they're getting maternity leave and they don't have to choose between their career and maternity, which is great. But that sounds maybe to me a little bit like a smokescreen in a way, in the way that go for it.
No, we have just got women marginalised, completely and utterly marginalised, particularly in the labour market. There's Māori and Pacific women, particularly young Māori and Pacific women. We've got disabled women who are barely visible. The data is so poor on there that they collect on disabled women that We just don't know how bad it is. We have a sense it's really bad, and you know it's also intersectional. So if you're a non-Pākehā and disabled, you know you've really got a double whammy. So yes, we have a lot of women who are invisible and marginalised in our workforce. Domestic violence is appalling. We know that there could be upwards of 500,000 victims of family violence in New Zealand just by the number of police call-outs and extrapolating, knowing that as little as only 13% of people report. You know, we just don't know for sure. We have one of the most violent societies in the developed world. God knows why, but we've got to tackle this head-on straight away, no question. This is our modern-day challenge for the modern suffragettes. This is our challenge.
That actually also brings me to another question, which was that I was wondering if you are maybe a little bit afraid that the coverage of the suffrage anniversary might hijack the conversation around the vastest inequalities that women still face in New Zealand. And by that, I mean, you know, is there a risk that we're just going to pat ourselves on the back saying, oh, we're pioneers because we gave women the right to vote so long ago, and kind of obliterate the fact that there is still a long way to go?
I think that it's good to acknowledge where we've been and acknowledge the suffragettes, absolutely. We've dined out on it far too long, and quite frankly, if Kate Shepherd was here today, she'd say, for God's sake, get your own sort of forward your own path. Don't keep going back to getting the vote. Yes, it was great, but you've got bigger and greater challenges ahead of you. And before we get gender equality realised, getting the vote was the start of it. But the violence, no, we will never have gender equality while they have such high rates of violence and sexual violence.
Yeah, I wanted to conclude with saying that a lot has been achieved for women's rights in those past 125 years, obviously, yes. since the recognition of the universal suffrage. Yes, in the 2017 general election, there was the highest number of women in parliament since they've been allowed to stand for parliament in 1919. Yes, women currently occupy significant positions, like whether it's Jacinda Ardern as prime minister, Dame Patsy Reddy as governor general. But let's not forget that, you know, in the public sector, even though women represent 60% of the workforce, they only make 25% of the chief executives. And in the private sector, there's a quarter, I think, of the country's top 100 companies that have zero women on their board. Obviously, the number of Māori and Pacifica women in these boards is really appalling.
Well, we don't know. They're not counted in the state sector boards or in the stock exchange boards. We wouldn't have a clue. Mm. We just count women, and we don't count what diversity of women we have.
Keep going.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think there's been some key achievements following on from the suffragettes, which we need to acknowledge, and that was the pill and women's ability to plan their own families and reproductive health, which meant that women weren't dying in childbirth. The ongoing education, more women than ever are getting tertiary qualifications, which leads on to jobs and economic empowerment. And the DPB in the 70s meant that women could leave a violent relationship for the first time, but unfortunately now many sole parents are women and many are trapped in poverty now. So, you know, in the modern last couple of decades, we've had paid parental leave, flexible work and early childcare. So we're almost at pay equity. They're not quite yet, almost there. So, yes, we've made some great strides, but going forward, we're not there yet. As you pointed out, women in leadership and decision-making positions in the private sector is appalling, and we need to have that discussion on quotas. You know, just threaten it if we need to, perhaps use it if we have to, as they do in the Nordic countries. If companies can't do it for themselves, let's do it for them type of attitude. No, we're not there yet. As I say, My main concern is the family violence and the sexual violence against women, and that really goes back to how women are perceived in society and a whole range of other factors. It needs a whole of government, and that includes opposition party, cross-party support, whole of society. Let's do it. Let's do it well. We can change attitudes. We did it with drinking and driving. We can do it with family violence.
Just to finish, it was announced actually just today the government just announced that it will be introducing an equal pay amendment bill, which aims at reducing the gender pay gap and address the pay discrimination in female-centred occupations, which I think is something that we don't really talk about that much. So I believe that's a start. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. We've been waiting for this legislation. They went back to the drawing board after they became government, so it's great to hear that it's going to come back to the House. That's good because, yes, the women that are clustered and dominate low-paid sectors, that the bill will help support them. But we do need a bill or legislation that covers the mixed occupations women work in, where they may not necessarily dominate but may not be getting a fair wage. And the public sector has brought in some principles to deal that with that. In the public sector, they need to be brought over to the private sector and be enshrined in legislation. They are terrific principles.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add to this conversation?
Happy Suffrage Day, and
thank you.
Go well, and the sky is the limit, and anything is possible.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.